Thank you, Murray, for giving words to the expressions of our heart before God. I want to emphasize that the meeting tonight, the garden fellowship or the indoor fellowship, goes ahead rain or shine. I don't know if I made that clear earlier on. And then just to draw your attention back to the church bulletin, including the back of the sermon note sheet insert, there's just lots of good information there that's helpful as we begin to think about the fall and lay plans for that. So please make a point of looking through all of that. Well, today we're continuing our study of the life of David, the early life of David. And the episode that we come to today really fits wonderfully with our observance of the Lord's Supper at the climax of the service today. Well, let's put this episode that we read about in 1 Samuel 24 into an overall context, a big picture context. The early life of David is told to us in the book of 1 Samuel. As a shepherd boy, David was secretly anointed to be the next king of Israel. It wasn't widely known. We know that as we read through the stories of David, but the people around him in that early life didn't know about it. God had directed the prophet Samuel to do that anointing in an undercover operation. And then we see David show up at a battle scene when Israel and Philistia are facing off over on two mountainsides with a valley in between. And David ends up being the hero, of course, by killing the Philistine champion, the giant Goliath. And for a time, David is a hero in Israel. He's a great warrior because God blessed him in every effort that he did in battling for the children of Israel. God blessed him, and there were great celebrations. And as the soldiers would return home, the crowds would come out, women would sing, and they gave greater praise to David than to King Saul, who was supposed to be the great, bright leader of Israel at that time. They sang, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And in that, David became a threat to the reigning king. And King Saul descended into an insane jealousy, probably some mental illness combined with that. And he actually tried to murder David several times. And finally, the pressure built to such an extent, and Saul began to include his soldiers in the attempt to put David to death, that David had to very suddenly flee for his life. Couldn't even go home to pack. Do you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about his stop at the house of God as he was fleeing rapidly to save his life. What a wild episode that was. The priest actually trembled when he saw David show up. The circumstances were just so crazy that he was immediately afraid of what was going to happen as a result of it. But there at the house of God, David on his flight, with the help of Ahimelech, the priest, David found God's direction. He sought God out. Plus, he was given bread from the sacred table, even though it was breaking the rules of the time. And he was given Goliath's sword in that setting. And so David was nourished and he was equipped at the house of the Lord as he was following God's push out into the wilderness. And from there, the Bible says that after one detour into a Philistine town, David headed into the wilderness, escaped to the cave of Adullam. And this started a unique phase of David's life in the wilderness. David didn't start out in the wilderness. He was in a very civilized setting. Yes, he was a shepherd, and so he spent time outdoors with the sheep. But it wasn't a desert. It wasn't under strange circumstances. And David didn't stay there forever in the wilderness. But the wilderness period for David was highly significant, and it covered some years. It was largely moving from cave to cave. Especially in the early time, it was spending time alone, time in solitude, time cut off from his regular life. You know, as you reflect, everybody who has anything to do with God will somewhere along the way spend some time in the wilderness. I have yet to see a variation of that as I've walked with people through their lives as they serve God and pursue God. God allows us to be set aside from regular life. So it is important that we look at what can take place there. It has to include some time of solitude, time when you are alone with God. And it's just one of the basics of wilderness times in our lives, to make sure that we spend that time alone with God and don't just cover over our wilderness time with things. David didn't choose the wilderness. He was chased there. He was a fugitive running for his life. But once there, he found truth. He found a place of beauty, a place of love. Actually, these early wilderness years became some of the best years of his life. There are things that we can experience only in silence and solitude, just you and God. Often through experiences that we wouldn't choose, but in retrospect, experiences that we wouldn't give away. Solitude in the wilderness can be very positive in our lives. After a little time, a few hours, a day or two, no assignments, no appointments. We aren't in control. Weather will be what it will be. People will only phone if it's their choice, not ours. Those kinds of experiences lead us to feel life simplifying and deepening, uncluttered, more spontaneous, a God experience in our lives. But there are also dangerous times. There are unpredictable times. Like a wild mountain stream, it's beautiful, but a misstep on a wet rock can kill you. A storm can engulf. A grizzly can be around a turn in the trail. In wilderness solitude, there is tension between beauty and danger. How does this connect with our lives? Friends, there are times when we are plunged into a circumstantial wilderness in our lives. It might be a sudden change in our health. It might be a sudden change in our emotions that we don't understand. Our thinking changes. Even a significant birthday will do that. It seems like I've had too many of those already. Our friends, our job, things beyond our control upset our sense of balance and our sense that things are well. And we come to a personal space where there are no solutions, no answers to our questions. And it's a wilderness time. We're cut off. Security isn't there for us. And our wilderness can certainly be terrible and frightening and dangerous, but it can also be a place of beauty. Actually, we do well to be frightened, to be alert, open-eyed, an awareness of danger, but at the same time we are plunged, if we let ourselves be, into an awareness of God, of trusting God in the midst of our fear and of the greatest values of life. Listen to how the psalmist wrote that. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It's interesting that there are four great wilderness stories in the Bible. There are stories of temptation and testing and renewal. They're wild times in the life of the characters, especially in the sense that the usual supports are not present. These varied experiences of God's people in wilderness experiences help us broaden out our own view of what may happen in our wilderness solitude. They prepare us to trust God in the middle of a barren stretch in our lives. Number one is Moses. Let me remind you briefly of two segments to his wilderness experience. First of all, Moses tried to serve God in his own ability and power. He was a prince of Egypt, and he tried to force his will on people. And for that, he ended up a fugitive from the palace to the desert. Running for his life, he spent 40 years as a shepherd, 40 years alone, cut off from all of his usual background. His character being shaped during that time to listen and to obey God. And then, in his second segment of his wilderness experience, he spent another 40 years of nomadic living with all of the children of Israel. It was a shared wilderness experience that came after the people of the children of Israel failed to trust God for victory. And while Moses was not physically alone, he was a leader alone during that time. There was no map to follow. There was no manual on leading the children of Israel. He was leading them into new territory all the time. And in that wilderness, Moses and the people learned to discern between idols and the living God, between false gods and the true God of heaven. And ultimately, through that wilderness time, they learned to live totally dependent on God's daily provisions. The second wilderness story is of Elijah. Very different story. Elijah is the great prophet who challenged the false prophets of the idol god Baal. He called them, those prophets of Baal, to prove their claims that Baal was greater than the God of Israel. You remember that he challenged them to a contest on the top of Mount Carmel to see which God would answer by fire. After the opposition had prayed all day, had shouted, and Elijah taunted them, "Yell louder, your God must be sleeping." They cut themselves, they worked themselves into a frenzy, and still no fire from their idol God. Elijah prayed that God would send fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice. And God did send fire that not only consumed the water-soaked sacrifice, but burnt up the rocks of the altar as well. It was a great victory to the glory of God, and a great victory for Elijah. Wouldn't that set him up for continuing strong in ministry? Wouldn't he go on to greater things? He'd be a power broker for God. But in fact, Elijah was spiritually and emotionally spent. From the heights of passion for God, he fell into black despair. So much so that when he heard the threats of Queen Jezebel, fear seized him and he ran and he hid in the desert. His faith resources were at zero. His gauges were registering empty. He actually prayed that he might die. He felt so empty, so alone. It sounds like the traits of some very modern experiences that many people that I've known have gone through. But God himself cared for Elijah in this literal and spiritual wilderness. An angel brought him food. He had a couple good nights of sleep. He was restored to the point that he continued to long for a time out in the wilderness. And in that continued solitude, by God's grace, he had a profound experience with God. And then after 40 days, he was able to return to his mission. Wilderness, solitude, experiencing God alone. This third story is well known. Story of Jesus in the wilderness. For Jesus, the wilderness was a place to do battle with Satan, a place to face the tempter directly, to discern between religion that uses God, and as Satan proposed to Jesus, and a true relationship with Almighty God, where his will and his way is what we follow, to refuse spiritual shortcuts. God's word teaches us that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into that wilderness. You see, wilderness isn't necessarily because of something bad in our lives. There are times that God knows we need that wilderness to be stretched and to strengthen the foundations of our faith. This past week, I took part in a slow-pitch baseball tournament. In 3 games in 5 hours for the next 2 days, and it happened to be one of the hottest days of the year. For 2 days after that, my body screamed at me that I was not prepared. I didn't have the conditioning built up in advance for that. And so the experience, I think, taught me, probably gained a little conditioning if I keep it up. But it also taught me I could go through something like that and not die, that I would survive. There are times that the Holy Spirit will lead us into the wilderness where our spiritual conditioning will be tested by temptations from Satan. There can be some bruises and sore spiritual muscles in those battles. But we come out of that as we trust in God with our faith strengthened, our foundations built up, our spiritual conditioning enhanced. As we come back to the wilderness story of David, the fourth wilderness story, we see a young man experiencing hatred from another person who should have been an example to follow. In fact, someone intentionally setting out to do him harm. All of it unjustified and unfair. And friends, this is where I often see Christians excuse themselves when something has been unjustified and unfair. Then we give ourselves permission to step outside of God's standards and God's ways. David has to escape his enemy, and he's been treated completely unfairly. in the wilderness under these circumstances. David is forced to choose a life of blasphemy or a life of prayer. To choose between finding God and following God's path regardless, or finding a path of bitterness and revenge. And we see David choosing God, talking to God, choosing to enter into holiness. This is not a holier-than-thou holiness that makes someone just too nice to be with. This is a holiness that no matter what you are doing, you are basically dealing with God. In every aspect of life, you're dealing with God, living for God, following God's way, rather than pretending that God doesn't exist. And the more you deal with God, the more human, the more alive to the world you become. It's an earthy holiness, a human aliveness that comes with dealing with God alive. So four very different wilderness experiences. Moses, because of a lack of other people's faith in God. Elijah, because of pouring himself out in God's service. Jesus, because of the need to establish spiritual truth and spiritual choices. And David, because he was the victim of someone else's wrong choices. But in each one, there comes solitude. There comes that settling down until we hear God's voice. There comes that encounter with God that lays down God's path into the future. Are you listening for God's voice? Perhaps some of you are in a wilderness time in your lives. Maybe the circumstances are different than any of these four. And yet the truth is there, that it's a wild time. It's unstructured. It's a new territory. There's no roadmap for you spiritually. But there's the truth that in opening ourselves, quieting before God, in solitude before God, and meeting with God, there comes His direction, His anchor, His foundation to carry us into a future, even though we don't know the answers and we don't know the way. Psalm 31. I trust it's the expression of your heart. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Wilderness times speak to us of finding God's ways under pressure. The story of our scripture passage today. David hiding in the cave. Wilderness isn't static. He was chased into that cave. And circumstances in our wilderness often keep changing before we want them to. We're just getting adjusted to one direction and then some change outside of ourselves takes place and we have to change, we have to adjust. But as we get emotionally and spiritually stripped down in our wilderness, we are pressured to learn and apply the basics of God's ways that are becoming apparent to us. David was thrust into this cave in the En-Gedi wilderness. Saul and 3,000 soldiers were combing the cliffs and canyons and caves, searching for David and his men. David and his little band took refuge in this cave. You can imagine their disbelief when a shadow at the entrance turned into the solitary figure of King Saul responding to the call of nature. David's men immediately did some whispered theological interpretation. And dear friends, we have to be careful about the voices that we listen to. Our friends aren't always the voice of God. And we need to, in our wilderness, in our solitude with God, we have to learn to hear God's voice in the midst of a multitude of voices and a multitude of advice. These men of David sounded very religious. David, this is God's doing. God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Kill him now. How often is that our response? Someone has brought trouble into our lives. They may not be hunting us down, but they have brought us down in some other way. It's easy to think, if only that person had never come into my life. If only I could eliminate them from my life. If ever I get the chance to give back what he's given to me, he'll know how horrible this is. David had just moments to penetrate through to God's voice, to think and to act. He crept forward, sword drawn in his hand, the inner voices raging, should I, shouldn't I? But in that wild setting, he heard God's voice calling David to leave matters in God's hands, to value the fact that Saul had been God-placed as king of Israel.
And in his heart, he determined he could not do what his own men were hoping for because Saul was the Lord's anointed. As he crept back to his men, he had only a piece of Saul's garment. In those pressure moments, David's sense of the presence of God took priority, and he surrendered his future back into the hands of the King of Kings. The holiness of that wilderness experience had entered David's soul, and now he saw holiness everywhere, even in Saul. He even felt bad that he had done so much as to slice a piece of his robe off, and he apologized to Saul before the episode was over. In seeing the holiness even in Saul, it led him to actions that were according to God's thinking, not his own. That's the promise of the wilderness for you and me. Our inner life brought back into tune with God, our hearts and minds adjusted to God's ways, to trusting him with our future. Psalm 71, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God, you who have done great things. You, O God, who, O God, is like you? Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again. Into the depths of the earth you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again." At the same time that David was forced into the wilderness, he found refuge in the wilderness. For David, it was finding God, of finding shelter in God. He trusted God's faithfulness to always have provision for himself. Ultimately, God made that provision through his only Son, Jesus Christ. And for every wilderness we face, dear friends, for every needed time of solitude, Jesus is there to meet us, to respond to our deepest need. And that's what we celebrate today in communion. We give thanks. In remembering Jesus' sacrifice, we exalt God. In taking time for the Lord's table, we sit still and invite his voice into our lives in a deeper way. It's only a few moments today, but maybe that's better than what you've done lately in listening for God's voice. And we know he's here. He promised to be here when people gather in his name to lead us along in our next step in our journey. We invite his voice into our lives. I pray that you will invite his voice into your own personal life today. When David was forced into life in a cave, he wrote Psalm 57. Listen and respond to these words from it. "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." May that be our prayer. We're going to sing a song that's based on those words, "Be exalted, O God." I pray that you will own these words. As you talk to Jesus this morning about where you're at, whether you've been through a wilderness time and you've come out of it and so you can reflect on these words through that past experience, or whether there are things happening in your life, and so often there are in many of our lives, that to you is a wilderness experience. It's Jesus who comes to you, who hears you, and as you allow yourself to be stripped down spiritually, emotionally, come to the place of stillness, to where you hear truly God's voice through his word, through his Holy Spirit dwelling in you and speaking to your heart and to your mind in that internal voice that you come to know as God. He will direct you. He is faithful. He does have refuge for you, and he will restore you. May you look to him today for his touch and to hear his voice. Jim's going to come and lead us in this song. Will you stand, please, as we sing?